Great. Morning, everybody. How we doing? Good, good. Well, today we're finishing up a relationship series, Can't We All Just Get Along? And we've tried to take a little bit of a different approach, sort of getting away a little more from the traditional spouse, husband-wife relationship. But we've talked about not only that, but we've talked about the relationships between parent and child, believer, unbeliever, brother to brother, sister to sister, and that sort of thing. And so many of you already know, and we've talked about this, but relationships represent some of the greatest joys, some of the greatest moments, some of the greatest experiences that we've ever had. But they also represent a lot of pain. They also represent a lot of turmoil within, and can represent a lot of unforgiveness if some of those relationships that are precious to you have been broken, have been injured in some way, you might say. But what we're talking about today is something that is all-encompassing, something that that associates itself with just about every relationship that we have. And so I just want to jump right into it. In Matthew 24, Jesus said to his disciples, in Matthew 24, Jesus is unpacking a lot about the end of times, what the end of the age will look like, and that sort of thing. And so his disciples go to him and they say, help us understand this a little bit more. Unpack this a little more for us so that we can explain what exactly are we looking for? Who's coming? When are you returning? That sort of thing. And so Jesus begins to lay out for them a couple different things. He says, be sure not to be led astray. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. But what we're going to zero in on today in verse 10, he says, and then many will be offended. And a lot of you in your translations, you'll have a lot, many will stumble, many will fall away. But it says, many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Okay, Jesus says in this passage, many of you will be offended. Okay, he also says in Luke chapter 17, he says, it is impossible that you will not go offended. Okay, so we'll always have this temptation. We'll always be able to experience being offended. None of us will escape it. Someone will always have somebody who's wronged us at some point along the way. Okay? All of us have been offended. Some of us have been offended even today. You've been offended. Maybe your husband did or didn't say something to you. Maybe your wife did or did something that just really offended you and hurt you on the way here. We get offended by our coworkers. Okay? Maybe the way that they just smack their gum is just offends us. It's irritating to us. We get offended by people in the grocery store, okay, who have 21 items and are going through that express lane. What are you thinking? This is 20 or less. Okay, you need to get with the program. We get offended at other drivers, okay, who are, if they drive slower than us, they're idiots. If they drive faster than us, they're maniacs, okay? We get frustrated and we get offended by people. And like I said, some of you, you've already been offended. Maybe somebody here at the church didn't say anything to you, didn't talk to you. Maybe you got cut off by somebody. Maybe Eric or myself or Dana, maybe we didn't say something and you wanted us to. Maybe it's too hot in here. Maybe it's too cold in here. People have a lot of opportunities to be offended, okay? And we're going to grab a hold of those at one point or another. All right, maybe you're offended just by me mentioning how easily offended you can be. All right, maybe that offends you. I don't know. But we can divide offended people into two groups. The first group are those who have seriously been wronged, seriously been hurt, whether that looks like an affair, whether that looks like an abusive situation, deep betrayal. And that is a serious issue. You are going through a lot. That's something that you've held on to possibly for years, and you really want to try to work through that and get through that. And so I know some of you've had that offense, okay? So those are the real serious issues. That's the first group. But the second group are those who think that they've been offended. Those who are a little easily offended. Those who are quick to call foul. Those who, when they're not the hero of every story, they're the victim of every story, okay? These are the people who sort of switch groups of friends every 2 to 3 years because people in their groups of friends, new groups of friends, somehow offend them and they move on to their next prey, if you will. But Eric's mentioned in the past couple weeks a lot of different principles. And one of the things that he talked about was making assumptions about information of a situation. Maybe making false assumptions, thinking you know what that person's heart was. Making assumptions on what that person's intent was. And people who are easily offended, they know what they feel. And it doesn't matter what the facts say. It doesn't matter what the truth says. Their feelings are their reality. All right? So those are our groups. Those are our two groups. Okay, and again, not making lightly of those who have been seriously hurt, seriously offended. But I will say that there's many of us who are easily offended. Okay, and we are because we think too much of ourselves. Think a little too much of ourselves. We are uppermost in our own affections. We view ourselves as ultimate, and it basically boils down to pride. And when you set yourself in that place, you are going to be more easily offended. Okay, when you make your life about your routine, your preferences, what you like to do, when you like to do it, the way that you communicate, the way that you show hospitality, okay, if people begin to operate outside of the way you do things, you're going to be open to offense. Okay, so if maybe a person doesn't reciprocate the hospitality that you show, but they do it in a different way, that can offend you. Maybe someone says something to you, but it's not quite the way you would have said it. You would have said it differently than that. Okay, you can walk away feeling like, well, I guess they don't appreciate me. I guess they don't like me. I guess they don't want to be my friend. Well, maybe they show hospitality in a different way. Maybe they communicate in a different way. How many of you have ever thought, life would be so much easier if everybody was just like me? I mean, I'm just, yeah, thank you guys, thank you, yeah. I mean, I've got it together. I mean, I've got this thing figured out. I mean, it's the height of arrogance, okay, having that position. So when everything's about us, the way we feel, what we think, what we believe, our way of doing it, and anytime someone comes along and disagrees with us or is different from us, that can be offensive. Okay, when life is about you and someone pulls out in front of you while you're driving, that becomes a personal attack. Okay, and that leads to anger, road rage, and typically hand gestures, depending, you know, how mad you are. But when life is not centered on you, okay, when life's not centered on you and you're not the center of your own universe, you can begin to let those things go. All of a sudden now that person pulling out in front of you just didn't see you. Okay. Where you once thought that this person is attacking your idea, now they just have a different opinion. Or when a person thinks that you're trying to make little of their situation, you're just trying, and actually you're just trying to relate to them. Okay, when you no longer hate or despise the way that they do this, now you understand that they just have a different way of doing it. Okay, and I could go on and on, and I just want to mention too just how freeing it can be when life isn't about you, whenever you don't have to maintain a certain persona, whenever you can make life about who Christ is and what He has done, and just how much peace that you can have whenever you have that in your life. And that's a whole other sermon altogether, but both of these groups, those who have been deeply hurt, but those who have are quick to be offended, both require forgiveness. Both require forgiveness. But if that's held on to, if that's not given, if that forgiveness is not given, then you can end up putting yourself in a very dangerous place. And let me show you what I mean. I want you to watch this progression as we go through Matthew 24. Jesus says to him, "And then many will be offended and will betray one another." We hear the word betrayal. It's easy for us to think about betrayal on a large scale, betraying your country. Maybe Benedict Arnold comes to mind, but you can feel betrayal on a lot of different levels. You can feel that just with somebody who you thought was on your side on this issue isn't on your side. Maybe somebody deceived you. Maybe someone's disloyal in a certain area of your life. But this offense can lead to a sense of betrayal, this feeling of betrayal. And so then it moves on, and they will hate one another. Okay, that offense, that snare that creates this feeling of betrayal has now led to hatred. Not just anger towards that person, but the absence of love. Okay, pure hatred for this person. You feel just this evil. You want ill things, bad, wicked things to happen to this person that you hate. All right, so you can already begin to see this chain of events from offense to betrayal to hatred. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And when I first read this, I thought Jesus kind of took a strange turn with this because it's originally talking about what's inside. Okay, he's talking about a person feeling offended, feeling betrayed, having hatred towards someone else. But then he sort of turns it outward and he's talking about these false prophets. What are the false prophets coming to do according to this passage? Deceiving. They are deceiving many. They are coming to deceive. And so what that begins to show us is when you hold on to that offense and that's leading you to this feeling of betrayal and hatred, you have exposed yourself to more and more deception. And an offended heart is open to deception. You begin to justify and trying to make a case for yourself the reasons why you can be offended and why you're going to stay offended. Proverbs 18:19 says that a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And I would say that some of you, you've met people. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it on their face, the way that they look and how deeply wronged they've been and how deeply offended that they have been and how there's no talking sense to them. There's no speaking life to them. There's no helping them because they are bound and determined. They will not forgive. They will hold this against that person for as long as they live. Okay, and the enemy is using that. He's using that offense. I'm referring to Satan. The devil is using that to pin you down. And so the longer you carry about it, the more the enemy can deceive you, and he can use people around you to start saying things to you like, man, I can't believe that he did that. I can't believe that he said that. You should never talk to him again. You should never forgive him. You should quit. You should leave. You should leave that church, and on and on and on it goes. You are more open to deception whenever you carry that offense around and whenever you carry that hurt around. And then eventually we are led to verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Okay, everything described here, Jesus is talking about many. He's talking about groups of people. And we know that this group of people are God's people. Okay, they're church people. And the way that we know that is the word love in this passage is agape. How many of you have ever heard the word agape? Okay, it's a Greek word. It's a Greek word that is used for the God kind of love. It's the love that God shows us. It is unconditional love. He gives, he forgives, he gives us grace. He is kind with us. He is patient with us. He is forgiving to us. That is the love that he has for us, and that is the love that we should show to one another. Okay, that's the agape kind of love. And there's another word that the Greeks use for love called phileo. And phileo is sort of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of love. Okay, it has strings attached. There's some conditions to that love. And the example that I gave to the first service was the Kansas City Chiefs. All right? I mean, they're rolling this year, right? Having a great year, best start in franchise history. Alex Smith, just the great story of redemption after being traded from his old team. Andy Reid, coming to town. Dwayne Bowe needs to lay off the weed a little bit, but I mean, there's just a lot of different. But we're happy, we're excited, man. We are Chiefs fans. We're loving the Chiefs right now. We're talking about it, but what about last year? How were things last year? Okay, one of the worst teams in the league, right? And so you can sort of have some of that phileo love when you're talking about your sports teams. You don't quite have the love for them that you did last year than you do this year, okay? That's not the love of God. That's not the love that we should show each other. It's the agape love that God has for us that we should have for each other is forgiving, it's gracious, it's kind, it's patient, it's slow to anger, all the things that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. So in this passage, that God kind of love has grown cold, okay, in the hearts of believers. We're going down the progression and we've reached this point. And so what happens when love grows cold between God's people? If it's a marriage, it's often divorce. If it's a great friendship, friends who have been friends for years, that relationship is broken, that relationship is severed. If it's the body of Christ, people will uproot, leave, maybe go somewhere else. And when you look at this, when you look at the friends who were friends for years are broken away, that people are moving churches, you all of this because of an offense? Because somebody got offended? When you look at that from, get in a plane and look at that from 10,000 feet, you ask yourself, how did it ever come to this? How did it get this far? There's a popular conference speaker named John Bevere, and he calls offense the bait of Satan. And he actually dedicated an entire book to this topic about what offense can do. And I recommend it. If any of this is speaking to you today, if you're dealing with issues of offense and unforgiveness, I would recommend picking up that resource. I've got a copy of it I can loan out if somebody wants to hit me up for that. But if the enemy can succeed in destroying the love that we have, if he can see that our love is cold, then he has succeeded in breaking apart and breaking down God's expression of grace in this body of believers. Okay, if cold love, if absent love can sever this congregation, then our usefulness will begin to wane. And it'll be just a matter of time before we have to close our doors. And unfortunately, that's something that happens all across the country. Because it all starts by taking that little piece of bait, that little piece of bait of offense. And I'm going to throw one more Greek word at you. In Matthew 24:10, the word offense is a word called scandalon. And what a scandalon is, this is interesting, on a trap, the scandalon is where you put the bait, okay? So if the bait is offense, and once that bait is taken, that's when the trap closes over you. There's a tribe in South Africa who they've developed this method of trapping monkeys. And the way they do it is they create this small hole and they put the bait inside. And they know that the monkeys will stick their hand into the trap and grab the bait. All the monkey has to do to get out is let go of it and pull his hand out. But they know that the monkeys won't let go. Okay? They know that they've got them because the monkeys will not let go. And we're the same way. We like to hold on to that bait. We like to just take that bait. It makes us feel good almost to be offended. It makes us feel justified in having some of those feelings and having some of that rage. But it's a trap, folks. It's a trap, and you will carry that around for years, okay, if you don't let it go.